Good afternoon and welcome to Windows on the World, coming to you from the UK. Very rainy today. Yes, it seems to be the beginning of autumn. However, that's the trivia over with. In the UK, today we are having our first taste of the rule of six in pubs, which means that if you go into a pub, you can have six people, you have to be served by waiter or waitress at your table. You can't go to the bar anymore, and you have to sign in with a track and trace app or give your name and address. This has led to a lot of creativity over the past few months, and we've been adding our favorite change agents and politicians to the list. However, today things have taken a turn for the more serious. Just out from the BBC, new rules for MI5 and police to authorise crimes. Yes, you heard that right. New rules for MI5, military intelligence, the special services in the UK, and the UK police, who were, remember, part privatised. If we look at the Metropolitan Police, the infrastructure is run by Kellogg Brown and Root, a.k.a. Halliburton. And we also have Serco and G4S involved in the police. Now, this is something I've been talking about for years, the crossing over of public-private partnerships into the security industry and, of course, the criminal justice system. Let's just get into this article. Undercover informants working for the police and MI5 are going to be explicitly permitted for the first time under British law to commit crimes. Now, I think you might find they've done this before. We're going to get into that in a minute. But it says here, the unprecedented legislation to authorise and oversee crimes comes after years of unclear rules over when these agents can break the law. Now, this is, again, not very accurate, but that is the BBC. The law will not specify exactly which crimes can be committed, and critics are urging MPs to amend the proposed law to rule out murder and serious violence. Now, we have had cases in the past where this has come to the surface. We haven't got time to get into that today, but I will summarise this first section of the show before I bring in our guest for today, Clive Menzies. It says the highly unusual decision to create a law that sanctions crime comes after a legal battle to force MI5 and the government to reveal secret rules governing when an informant can break the law. Now, this is very interesting, actually, because recently an informant or agent has actually been outed and disappeared. And this is in the so-called inverted commas truth movement in the UK. And that is all public knowledge now. And this person has been haranguing many people in the UK who haven't gone along with his narrative for quite a few years. And it's with some satisfaction that this goon has now been outed. It says, though, here, informants, also known as agents, are recruited to gather intelligence on targets, including terrorist organisations, major drug gangs and child abuse networks. Now, of course, they always frame it as though it's an issue of national security. But I do have evidence that this goes into the public-private sector, because organisations in the UK and small charities, I know for a fact, have been targeted by these very, very sinister agents who have the full complicity of the police, who do not get arrested, who commit criminal acts. So this is where I believe all this is crossing over. It says these agents are often already involved in the networks being targeted and need to maintain a cover in order to gather critical evidence for investigators. Now, several years ago, I did a show with ex-MI5 agent David Shaler, who actually uncovered a plot to kill Colonel Gaddafi in the 90s. And that resulted in the death of about 20 UK MI6 agents in this failed plot to kill Gaddafi. And he exposed that, along with the murder of Dr. David Kelly, who basically uncovered the rubbish that was going on around the weapons of mass destruction meme that was used for the attack on Iraq. Now, these things are common knowledge in the UK, but it says here, A major court ruling last year found that while MI5 had an implied power to authorise crimes, it did not mean anyone involved was immune from prosecution. Well, that's absolute rubbish, because if they've signed the Official Secrets Act, the police can't really go against the intelligence services. And they've already clearly said that the police can work hand in hand with the intelligence services to commit crimes. He says that judgment only narrowly in the government's favour. I think it was 3-2 in Parliament prompted the decision to create the new law. Basically, it says under the legislation going before Parliament, MI5, the police and National Crime Agency and other agencies that use informants or undercover agents will be able to explicitly authorise them to commit a specific crime as part of an operation. The law will require MI5 officers and others to show that the crime is necessary and proportionate. Well, under the interests of national security, anything is necessary and proportionate, especially under the Prevention of Terrorism Act 2000, because that frames people, even like myself, who may be considered a threat to national security. Because in the UK, we have these organisations such as Hope Not Hate, which is like a sort of remedial class for MI5. Basically are full of informants who regularly incite violence against people using Antifa, the terrorist group Antifa. So we can see how it's already crossing over. It's patently obvious to me because I've been looking at it for so many years. But it says, while a security services watchdog, a senior judge, will report on how the power is used, there'll be no role for the Crown Prosecution Service in reviewing the crimes. Now, this is incredible because the Crown Prosecution Service is in the UK is, in my opinion, an utterly corrupt organisation. How do I know that? Because I've tried to get information out of them. And if you are a defence witness, the CPS will brush you under the carpet and they will aid in withholding evidence from you, which you may need in court. So this goes quite deep, really. Now, it says here, Ken McCallum, the new director general of MI5, said agents working deep undercover had played a critical role in stopping many of the 27 terror plots that have been uncovered in the last 3 years. Now, of course, we're never going to know what these are or, in fact, whether they ever existed. We're just told this. And MI5 are just basically interfacing with the media in a PR kind of way. And, of course, the last MI5 head of MI5, Mark Rowley, said when he resigned that the growing threat was the far right. Now, the far right is basically used to describe anybody who's not basically going along with Soros-backed protests or reading The Guardian in the UK. So it's rather biased. It says this is a critical capability and is subject to robust independent oversight. Oh, yeah. It is important that those with a responsibility to protect the public can continue this work, knowing that they are on a sound legal footing. Yes. And then we go back to a few years ago from 2018 and 19. And we still find the same things happening. For instance, 20 December 2019, the UK can authorise agents to operate in criminal gangs. Security Tribunal publishes first dissenting opinion. So this is not new, and it has been going on for years. This is another article that I dug up, and it raises important questions with what's going on at the moment, especially with the COVID-19 Act. And we can go back to, November 2019, four human rights organisations are taking legal action against UK government. They claim the policy allows MI5 agents to commit crimes and get immunity from justice. Well, we've just heard that that's the case. It says MI5 has been illegally allowing its informants to commit serious crimes. So it goes back to last year. But when you start digging, you find out this has been going on since the 90s. It says the groups argue the effect of the policy, which they say has been in place, yes, since at least the 90s and was kept secret for decades, is for the executive to grant itself the power in secret to dispense with the criminal law enacted in Parliament. So this is quite an interesting development, I would say. And it starts to explain a lot of things that have been going on in the UK. And this is where I find it fascinating, because it crosses over, as I said earlier, into the private sector. So what we actually have in effect are people who may be linked to government agencies who are targeting UK citizens who may be putting out news or information which the extremist far left governance system does not like. So I'm going to welcome our guest for today, Clive Menzies of OuterSight.org and the Critical Thinking Group, to the show. How are you, Clive?
I'm very well. Good afternoon, Mark, and everyone else. It's good to be here.
Yeah, what did you think of that opening salvo? I think, well, it's kind of interesting in many different ways, which I hope we can go into.
Well, yes, and I think what people need to begin to realise is that this is a criminal system from the top down. So what this sort of exposes is the nature in which authority operates. And when you talked about the outgoing MI5 director saying that they'd stopped so many terrorist plots, you and I have both explored false flag terrorism, both in the UK, America and elsewhere. And it's clear that the intelligence services are always instrumental in fomenting terrorist plots, 7/7 being a case in point. And what is quite interesting is, I think the guy's name was Berlin Guido, who was in court. This was around the time that they were trying to start bombing Syria. And there was a debate in Parliament and the Select Committee was considering various things. And there was a court case going on against this Berlin Guido, who was being prosecuted under the Prevention of Terrorism Act 2000. And they had to drop the charges because it would have incriminated MI5. So I think, you know, what they're doing is actually publicising something that you've already explained has been common practice for years. And it's been common practice across the board. And I think that what it exposes is that the whole system is criminal. Every institution, and that's not to mean that those people who work for those organizations are criminals, because they don't really understand the system in which they operate. They're only given enough information to do what they've been asked to do. But it is a criminal infrastructure from the top down, you know, from the highest court through every commercial enterprise, government organization. The whole thing is criminal.
We talked about this yesterday on Richie Allen. Richie Allen is a BBC, sorry, an ex, I think he was, he worked on commercial radio in Ireland. Sorry, Richie, I would never say that you work for the BBC. but we were talking about this yesterday, and it's kind of interesting because it ties into this whole public-private bit, which is what I was trying to say at the beginning. Now, over the years, I've noticed that this criminality, it is, as you were saying, top-down, but it does kind of operate like an organised mafia. And when you get involved in something which is the state infiltrates, there is no end to the criminality. And the people who have immunity from prosecution are always very easy to spot, in my opinion, because they're so audacious. And I've seen this even at these sort of protests and going back to Occupy. There are certain of these people who I know by sight who are everywhere. And it's strange, isn't it? Because as soon as they turn up, within half an hour, there's a big ruckus starts and loads of people get arrested.
Yeah.
And it's in a way, it's kind of weird, because what I've noticed is that when these people turn up, it's almost reassuring because you know who they are. Do you know what I mean? So it's bizarrely reassuring when you see these sort of undercover faces turn up. You go, oh, I know him. Yeah, I know him. So we know where the trouble's going to start. If any, I think the last time I saw this fella who was actually a facilitator at Occupy, known undercover operative police, and he's actually been outed on YouTube, and people go up to him and they can do all sorts of things, and of course he can't retaliate, you know. They can sort of insult him to his face and he can't say anything. And yeah. It was really funny. There was a thing in London called the Anarchist Book Fair, which is a very lefty kind of thing, but I saw him, and within half an hour there was a huge ruckus between this extreme kind of leftist LGBTQ person and this Greek man who looked like a complete plant. And the whole of the book fair was shut down, and I don't think it's ever going to happen again. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting the way this works. But when you're up against it, the audacity of these people is often so breathtaking that you can't believe that anyone believes that they're going to get away with it, but they do.
Well, they do. And, you know, that's at the sharp end of where dissent meets, if you like, the ordinary people and authority in the form of police or whatever it may be. But actually, when I said it stems from the top, and you talk about immunity, if you've studied the Bank of International Settlements and their protections, basically, neither the Bank of International Settlements, which is the private central banker's bank, which resides in Basel, Switzerland, neither the organisation nor its officers can ever be indicted, can ever be put before a court, can be held accountable. And that doesn't just apply to the Bank of International Settlements, but it applies to every cartel bank. Not all banks are cartel banks, but most of the big ones are. So, for example, HSBC, which clearly was guilty by its own admission of money laundering on behalf of drugs cartels and terrorists, wasn't indicted because the Financial Stability Board, which is an associate organisation of the Bank of International Settlements, in the form of Mark Carney at the time, Bank of England Governor, George Osborne, who was then Chancellor of the Exchequer, and Adair Turner, who was head of the Financial Services Authority, they all lent on the Department of Justice in America, which gives you some idea of the pecking order of criminality, that basically the Department of Justice weren't allowed to prosecute. And obviously, we never got to hear what crimes HSBC got up to because they agreed a private settlement with the Securities and Exchange Commission in the US.
Yeah, I think that sort of top-end, high-level stuff is slightly different. I mean, yeah, you can look at an organisation like the UN. I mean, I remember I was at a conference in Paris, which was an alternative to the COP15, I think it was, which was the climate conference. And yeah, this was a group of, sceptics, or as they say in the UK, deniers. and they had this separate meeting, and there was a lawyer there from Switzerland. He was an Irish fella, and he was going on about the UN, because I'd looked into this years before, about the UN Charter means that they are above all international law, and they can move any funds, assets, gold, or anything they like with complete immunity. They are immune from all forms of prosecution or any jurisdiction in which they operate. And if you just put in 60,000 UN staff paedophiles, just see what comes up. And whenever I see a post for UNICEF, I always add that so people can actually see what these lot are really up to. Now, that's just infiltration stuff. But when you start taking this apart, what I find really interesting, Clive, is this private sector stuff, because I've had a bit of an experience of it. And my friend's small charity got targeted by these people who were absolutely above the law. We're going to be back with more of this after the break. If you fancy infiltrating the show, do call in.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Well, there's a pain in my side that I can travel alone. Bring peace to this troubled land. It's dark out here, I can't
wait. Talking to Clive Menzies today, and we're really talking about this crossover with the intelligence services, the police, and the private sector. We have a lot of this in the UK. Of course, it's worldwide, it's global, it's global governance at all levels, and it's quite sinister, really, because it can tie in to so many different areas these days. And even if you're putting out news, if you're a journalist, you can be kind of targeted by these rather nasty people, and they can try and set you up, or they can try and bring you down. And I've had a bit of experience of this over the years, but this is actually from a British public policy think tank called Demos, and they kind of instruct our media in a way. The memes of the time often come through Demos. So, in other words, if the government's worried about conspiracy theorists, which they were years ago, and they still are, of course, they bring in Demos to write a paper and talk about it on the mainstream media. And there's a paper that came out called The Unreality of Conspiracy Theories. And it was basically about how we were able to talk about conspiracy theories without offending anybody. So it wasn't really about whether the conspiracy theories were real. It was about how we could talk about it. So they were trying to frame the conversation. And we had a debate with them at Goldsmiths College over 9/11. And they lost the debate by an elementary physics teacher just giving a bit of evidence. And it floored them because they were more concerned with the controlling of the narrative. And that's what I find quite interesting about this stuff. The way that propaganda He is often unsuccessful. But this is a quote from Demos, and I'd like to get your comment on this, Clive. The new democracy will work with a combination of government open infiltration and citizens groups taking direct action. And I think we can see where all that's gone with things like Extinction Rebellion in the UK, Black Lives Matter. These are groups which are supported by our government because they are implementing the governance system. But when they say the new democracy, that is a little bit chilling. And they're saying it will work with a combination of government open infiltration. Now, bearing in mind what I said at the beginning of the show, this is quite worrying, I think, because the infiltration in the UK at every level comes at you from everywhere, and often even by the local council.
Well, yeah.
Did you know that, Clive, that local councils can tap your phone? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are many strands to this, and I think the charity Common Purpose is quite an interesting sort of case study in how you create a cadre of potential infiltrators to actually find their way into all layers and segments of life. So the local council, NGOs, even charities, small groups. Because I think in the early days of people trying to understand what's going on, we focused on the large, well-known organisations like the Council for Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and all these well-known, if you like, cabals of criminality. But now it has now reached a level of sophistication that it is in your local council. And I think it's Rosie Corey and various other people have exposed how the UN's Agenda 2030 and Agenda 21 are being rolled out locally. And I think, you know, that's what's quite interesting in this crisis. I've been trying to talk to people locally about the implementation of new traffic schemes, for example. And basically, you see by stealth what's been happening in the lockdown is that they've been using these local groups to close off roads and reduce pavement sizes, ostensibly to reduce pollution and provide social distancing. But this has been a full-scale program that is rolling out at real speed, and that could only have been done by actually infiltrating all these levers of power and then just carrying on. There's been no democratic accountability. Nobody's asked, you know, do you really want to be in a world where having a car is going to be more trouble than it's worth? Because that's just one example of the way in which these infiltrators have essentially taken over the agenda under the guise of sustainable development and protecting our streets and protecting the young and, you know, all the misinformation that goes with that.
Oh, you're on to one of my pet subjects here, Clive, because that actually does link up so well with what I was trying to say at the beginning of the show, because I've been looking at this for 15 years, the policies of Agenda 21, the 40-foot pavements, the closing of the roads, which is why I moved out of London in the first place, when my area was locked off like a concentration camp with thousands of new flats being built and I couldn't find anywhere to put my vehicles. I thought it's time to leave. And I did warn people there what was going to happen. And you've got these local groups who try and fight against this stuff, but of course it's highly organized and it's a template that's rolled out everywhere. So these people are infiltrators. You get change agents coming in, they're trained in a public and private sector. You mentioned Common Purpose, but there are so many of these organizations. That's just one of them. Wow, we're up to our necks in it, everyone out there. What are we gonna do? Well, keep calm, carry on, and see you after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
This so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. Having a great conversation with my guest Clive Menzies from outersight.org about the sort of general infiltration of everything. We started off the show really talking about how MI5 in the UK have a license to kill, commit criminal acts alongside the police. Now, as if the UK police were not corrupt enough, we now have their complicity public available with MI5 that they can actually commit crimes and form terror groups, basically, to take on anyone that the government may not like. Well, this is pretty dangerous, along with all the terrorism laws that we have in the UK, the Terror Act 2000, and of course we have the COVID Act 2019. Or the COVID-19 Act 2020 even. and that really does take away all our rights and is very scary indeed. And it's underpinned by an act called the 1984 Act, which it shouldn't be underpinned with. It should be underpinned with a thing called the Civil Contingencies Act of 2004, which is reviewable every 28 days. So, as we're not really in a pandemic anymore, we shouldn't have these laws, but we still do. And it's getting worse. So, yeah, this infiltration generally is quite interesting, because we were talking just before the break about how local councils are involved in this. And people go, what? Local councils are involved in the intelligence service in spying? Well, actually, they are in the UK, because they can legally tap your phone and there's nothing you can do about it. And they can actually get information from multiple different agencies on you. And they have a thing called a prevent strategy in the UK, which means that if you are deemed to be vulnerable to extremism. You have to sit in front of your local council and explain yourself along with the police, and they attempt to de-radicalise you. Now, anyone who's been to a local council meeting would be horrified at this, and the idea of these goons in your local council, these overpaid kind of change agents, being able to dictate to you what you can believe is probably the last straw. But we're not far from that in the UK, Clive. In fact, we're right in it, aren't we?
Well, I think we are. And I think, you know, this is, I think we've reached a point where one has to make a decision, because, and I probably made that decision when this lockdown started, that, you know, I will not wear a mask, I will not comply. And I think...
Oh, you're so full of hate.
You're sorry?
So selfish. Why are you so selfish and full of hate?
But I do say, and it's quite interesting, because you talk about Civil Contingencies Act, and essentially every, well, certainly the US and the UK and probably across Europe, basically all of the building blocks are being put into place for total martial law. And there comes a point at which, are you going to wait until the police and the military are actually restricting your movement, or are you going to start making a noise before it's too late? And my sense is that we've now arrived at the point that if we don't stand against this tyranny now, then the opportunity to do so, particularly when they start talking about rolling out mandatory vaccination, I think once you reach that point, then the chances of trying to reverse this situation become much more difficult.
Absolutely. Got Brian in Washington. Are you there, Brian?
So I'm curious, Mark. We sent Hi. You a Patrick Timpone's interview involving this John Rentz attorney in Ohio. Are you familiar
right.
with
this? Yeah, Brian, when did you send this? Because I've been really inundated with stuff over the past week, and I've had to get ready for quite a few shows. When did you actually send this?
September 20th.
Right, I'll look. I'll look at it, and you emailed it to info@windowsontheworld.com, did you?
Yes.
Great, I'll go back into my box after the show and I will watch it immediately, but do carry on. I'm sorry I haven't viewed it already.
And then we're going to send you an additional interview with somebody who has we've got to come on with Larkin, Texas, on a show to point out how the communitarian aspect is intricately involved in this battle that we're up against. And
yes,
this particular guy is named Greg Quiñones, and I would also like you to look at that, because Greg is willing to come on your show because he is trying to raise money for this lawsuit in Ohio so we can make a decent showing of our resistance, pointing out that they have no proof that any of this is real science. So please provide this documentation, and we'll give you an apology if it's accurate, and we'll go away. But if not, you people are coming down. So that is just my encouragement. I'll send you the information links and eventually get it in the chat room as well. So I'll let you guys get back to it.
Thanks, Brian. I'm going to look at that after the show, and do send me anything. Now I've spoken to you, I'll be looking out for anything that you send. Thanks a lot, Brian.
You bet. Bye now.
Cheers. Now, that's great, because I think we should be taking these people on. I mean, I've had small victories in the courts when these people overstep the mark. But what we're talking about today is kind of major criminality that's been sanctioned by the UK government. And it has been going on for years, as we said at the beginning of the show. But the problem we've got is that this endemic corruption crosses over into everything. And I find it very sinister when it goes into public-private partnerships. And I've actually seen that. And it's an interesting phenomenon, because you get these people who work within sort of media, which is linked to intelligence. And that could be like VoIP phones, voice over internet protocol. I don't think there's used as much anymore, but several years ago, there was a company called voipon.co.uk, and somebody from that company actually incited a lot of trouble for me on the internet. And I found out because I'd been for a drink with him and his friend, and then I find out, well, what's that company called? Oh, that company that they owns the website that's attacking me on the internet. And this was at the time I was at this place called People's Voice TV in London, and I confronted them about it, and I never heard from them again. But interestingly, they were trying to set me up for something in Panama, and then the Panama Papers came out. Now, I had no idea what I was putting out would be of any way that much of importance. But I think what it is that these people are contractors, and they are being paid and employed by the public sector and also by the intelligence agencies. And that's what I find really interesting, because it explains an awful lot as to how things work in the UK. And we've had this with groups that I've known, their discussion groups, like there's a group called 9/11 Keep Talking, and they get regularly invaded and put into the press in the UK. And it's absolutely laughable, because it's really a bunch of elderly academics who discuss what the mainstream media call conspiracy theories. So they're obviously really worried about people with a functioning brain cell discussing this stuff. And that's where it does start to get interesting, because it crosses over then, as I said, into your local council here. And we have this prevent strategy. We have this interface with the police and the councils. And then you get these people who are trained, like you were saying, Clive, in Common Purpose, which is one change agent organization. But there's loads of them. When the big society happened in the UK, which ties into communitarianism, which was what Brian's talking about, it was stated that they were going to be using the Saul Alinsky rules for radicals, which is basically a form of legalized terrorism when it goes to the extreme. So that, I think that's a really big area that I want to keep looking into, because I love scratching the surface. I think we've got John in Texas. Are you there, John?
Hi, Mark. Can you hear me?
It's John. Hi, John. How are you doing?
All right, mate. Your last caller there mentioned about sharing interviews. You need to share that interview you did with Richie Allen yesterday, because that was brilliant, mate. That was one of the best interviews I ever heard. And people need to hear what you had to say in the interview. It was fantastic.
Oh, thanks, John, because it's very difficult to cover things on a show that's as fast-moving as Richie's, and Richie is very good at interviewing. He does ask the right questions, and he is sympathetic to what I say, because we've known each other quite a long time. We're good friends now. And, yeah, that's great that you enjoyed it, John. I'm really pleased that people are listening to it, because in the UK, my show is very marginalised. We have this sort of conspiracy community here, and they all tend to sort of feed off each other and say the same thing. And I get more traction in America with people, even like Richie from Boston has put my stuff on. And that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It gets out there, you see. And that is really encouraging. But in the UK, there is a real resistance to promoting what I'm doing. People who have these channels which put out basically what I suppose the intelligence services deem to be okay, they get hundreds of thousands of hits, but we get kind of really shut down. And I for years I wondered why this was, and then I thought, well, it's because we're hitting the spot, I suppose. But really what we're doing is in the interests of the country and not against national security, I would like to suggest. But other people may not think that's the case.
Thanks a lot, John. Anyway. We've mentioned two Richies. Let me briefly mention a third. I heard Richie Allen play a clip of, I believe his name is Richie Sunak. He's a Tory minister back home.
That's right, Richie, yes.
Richie played a clip of him this morning giving a speech about what they were going to do to help people through this crisis. And I'm sitting listening to that, and, you know, these guys, maybe if you fancy being a broker, you could maybe get some cliches from them and sell them to Donald Trump and what's the other guy, Biden? You see the cliches that they have over here, man? They're garbage. Utter garbage. There's no imagination in them whatsoever. But
I'm sorry to disappoint you, John, but I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there's no imagination over here either.
I'll tell you what, I know there's nobody hates the Tories any more than me, but they can come up with some crap when they need to. All right, mate, I won't take up any more of your time. Great listening to you, pal. All the best.
Thanks, John. It's always great to hear from you. Yeah, great to have people calling in, actually.
Yeah. It's
an encouragement about what we're doing, because we get shut down a lot now. Yeah, Clive.
It's quite Karen interesting. Clive, yeah. Brian mentioned Larkin, Texas. John mentioned Richie Allen. I mean, there is a cross-fertilization that is beginning to take off. And what you were saying earlier about the big society and change agents and behavioral management, that really comes down to the key to fighting back, because it is our perceptions and our behavior that matter. That's why they're trying to change them. So as long as we adhere to what we think is right and true and proper, then we have an influence on the rest of society, because they're not deploying all these change agents and propaganda for nothing. They know that they have to change perceptions in order to do what they want to do. So if we refuse, and if we are intent on right behavior and right attitudes and right perceptions, then the truth is always going to be much stronger than lies, because these lies are becoming more and more obviously contradictory.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, the controlling of the narrative has got so ridiculous now. I think that was a good point that John made, actually, because the cliches that come out of the UK government, I don't think they're any better or worse than what comes out of America. I mean, this is kind of a constant thing. We're in memetic warfare, really, and it's the memes that win. And I'm struggling for memes all the time when I think of titles for shows. So it is important, but it's so unimaginative what people come out with. And these agents, because they work in a hierarchical kind of situation, they are incredibly unimaginative. And, of course, they can't engage with humour. And we talked about that at the beginning of the show. I think that humour is really important, because apart from them being self-important, we were talking about this years ago when David Shaler was on the show, the XMI5 agent, and he was saying that they can't engage in humour because of the hierarchical situation that they're in, because it can be easily misinterpreted, and they have to be very definite about what they're implying. So you can have some real fun with humour with them. And, yeah, it's amazing, this infiltration. And I've been watching it for about 20 years. I find it fascinating, because you can spot these people. And even at this so-called protest we had in Trafalgar Square last week, there was agent provocateurs there, obviously paid, and they always dress them up in the most ridiculous way. They used ethnicity as well in a very racist way. So they kind of become caricatures of themselves. You know, I mean, there was a few people there with, like, hippies with backpacks. And often when you see someone with a woolly hat, you know, it's like they're incredibly unimaginative. And there was one at that fake squat that we talk about sometimes in the City of London, the undercover cop we were talking about earlier on. I won't mention his name's Mark Weaver. And well, that was his assumed name. And he turns up with a clip-on earring and one dreadlock. You know, I mean, have you ever seen anybody with one dreadlock, you know, and a clip-on one? It's so ridiculous. But that, I think, is the funny side of it, because they are pretty inept. But then you get to this other side of what we're talking about, when they can go on with criminal gangs and basically smash up your assault you or murder you. And then it starts getting a bit personal, doesn't it, Clive, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think from my experience, there is some semblance of communication with such people that actually does some good. But when you recognize the way in which so many people are seduced by the narratives and the actions that they take, you realize that they are doing much more harm than good. And it's quite... I mean, I didn't realize until after Occupy the extent to which it had been infiltrated, but I certainly felt its I felt its effect very early on because I've done a lot of work on climate science and couldn't understand why nobody in Occupy seemed to recognise that what they were saying was just blatantly wrong.
Yeah, I think it was interesting because they tested out these people, citizens' assemblies. The general assemblies became really what citizens' assemblies are in the UK, and the people's assembly, rather. We have this thing called the people's assembly, which is basically people being psychologically steered into the intended outcome and agreeing to retro-tax their houses for $25,000 each. £25,000, more than $9, obviously. So, or maybe not, obviously, I don't know. I haven't checked the exchange rate today. Okay, we're going to be back after the break. See you in a couple of minutes.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Oh, welcome back to Windows on the World. It's flown over again. It always does. We have so much to say and so much to share with you, dear listener. Yes, we've been talking really about the infiltration of everything. It starts off with MI5 being allowed to murder people and basically be part of criminal gangs ruining businesses and all the rest of it. And it goes down to your local council. I always like to think global to local. And that's what we've been covering for years. No one will be left behind, Clive. And I think it was an interesting conversation today. Is there anything you'd like to add? Is there anything you picked up on that you'd like to kind of explore in the last few minutes?
Well, I think really, as I said earlier, I think we're approaching a very critical point. I think the US election is likely to provoke a huge amount of uncertainty, potential civil war. And I think that the behavioral change is really, we need to try and reverse that by changing our own attitudes, by not complying, by not consenting. And I come back to what I was talking about on previous programs, which is essentially we need to change the money. We need to create our own monetary environment in which to operate locally and globally. So that's why looking at alternative currencies, making sure you have plenty of cash, perhaps gold, silver, cryptocurrencies, exploring many other ways of building resilience independent of the system. I think these are the most important things to be focusing on at the moment, because the conspiracies just keep coming thicker and faster. And I think it's time to sort of assess what you can do in your life, one, to change your perception and those around you, and how do you build resilience that makes you independent of the machinations of this system.
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea of future shock was that there'd be these big traumatic shocks that, you know, people would be destabilized by and accept the new systems that were being brought in. But we get about three or four before breakfast now, don't we? It's quite unreal. I mean, every day there's a new kind of enforced trauma in the UK, and we've never known anything like it, really. I actually find it quite exciting because I'm living completely in the moment, and what you're saying is very true. There are people planning behind the scenes. In fact, since this COVID-19 saga started, lots of people have contacted me, and there are networks of people trying to be self-sufficient, and they're all under the radar. And that's the way it's got to be, because this system is so insidious now that we need to defend our privacy and our right to privacy. And that is, to me, very paramount, because the whole idea of being sovereign and being creative is what we're here for, really. Or well, that's what I assume I'm here for, because I spoke about this yesterday on the show, that creativity is not built into the artificial intelligence matrix. And I think that is something that is very important. Stay unpredictable, stay creative, and stay joyful. I think it's really important. And I see a lot of people who are really being influenced by what's going on through the media, and they are going to be victims. And we're not victims here.
Certainly not.
Smart Windows here. Winners on the world. Thanks, Clive. See you all next Tuesday.
Thanks, Matt.
Do join us on winnersontheworld.net over the weekend on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. Central if you're not listening to this space.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.